Lord, as we continue to worship you this morning through your holy word, I ask that you would use your scriptures to light the dark corners of our minds, to warm the cold places in our hearts, and to heal the brokenness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have some symbols I'm going to show you, and I want you to tell me what they mean. Ready? Who said that? You're already ahead of me. Peace, right? Three symbols, they look very different from one another, but to us, they all have the same meaning, peace. Now, I don't know if you know much about these symbols, but this symbol right here was developed in 1958 by a British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham. And it's based on a system that I didn't even know existed prior to this week called the flag semaphore system. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, I see some people nodding their heads. So the flag semaphore system is a system of using flags to communicate messages from long distance. And a lot like sign language, every letter and every number has a different movement. And so when this symbol was created, it was created from the movements of the letters N and D, which at the time in the 1950s stood for nuclear disarmament. And Holtham, the creator of this symbol, says that it was a personal thing for him because to him, this represented a person with their arms stretched out in desperation of peace in a time when the fears just ruled the world of war. The next one that we looked at, Kent already said, victory. That's actually how this sign started out. This was at the very beginning when it began, they used this to say victory. That's why it's in the shape of a V. And during the time of World War II, resistance fighters would hold up this sign to say that they had either won or to just give one another encouragement and strength to go on to victory. Later, Winston Churchill adopted it to stand for English victory, but we all know in America, it came to be a sign that meant peace and not war, right? And then this final one, the dove, believe it or not, we all know this as a Christian symbol, don't we? But believe it or not, this symbol has been used by lots of different people groups all over the world and all different times in history. But the Christian symbolism comes from what part of the Old Testament? Noah, right? Noah sent out the dove after the storm, and the dove came back with an olive branch saying that land was near. And for them, it was a symbol that there was going to be peace after the storm. When we see these three symbols, we think of peace, right? But interestingly, these symbols were not born out of peace. They were actually, all three of them were born, they came into existence because of a great need for peace. During times of desperation and times when all people wanted more than anything in the world was peace. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we have talked about hope and love and joy. And today we talk about peace, and we remember that while there are many symbols and representations of peace, the most important, the truest symbol and gift of peace that the world will ever know is Jesus Christ. And like the symbols that we just talked about, Jesus also was born during a time when people were desperate for peace. When Jesus came into the world, there was a great divide between God and people. If you remember, there was conflict among nations all over the place. Israel, God's own people, were suffering from the oppressive Roman government. And there was this overarching culture of unrest. The Bible tells us that generation after generation, Israel struggled and suffered in violent battles over the promised land. And they were desperate for God to come in and to defeat their enemies, and they were desperate for a victory. This morning, when we listen to this passage, this prophecy from Zechariah, it's called Zechariah's Song. And as Dan mentioned, this is how Zechariah responded at the birth of his son, John the Baptist. But you can hear in his prophecy Israel's desperation for peace and how they thought that that peace was going to be brought by the defeat of their enemies. As Zechariah praises God, he describes redemption in a very interesting way. He describes it by saying, salvation from enemies, deliverance from those who hate us, rescue from the hands of our enemies. Israel's expectation was that Christ was going to finally fulfill God's promises by ending generations of war and oppression. But they thought that that was going to happen through a military victory. For the Israelites, Christ's birth, the birth of a Messiah, was about winning. It was about being in power. It was about their enemies finally getting what's coming to them. Can any of you relate to that? Have you ever felt like, oh, I would just have peace if my enemies got what's coming to them? If I could just win, then I would be at peace. Well, God had something much bigger in mind when he sent Jesus. The Jewish people thought that they were desperate for a win over militant enemies, and they were. But their needs and the needs of the world were far deeper than that kind of rescue. When Jesus came into the world to bring peace, he came to defeat enemies even greater than nations and armies. He came to fight the battle of all battles, to win the victory of all victories, setting the stage for God's peace to truly rule the world. He didn't just come to bring military defeat in a physical, temporary world. He came to win the ultimate victory over the human heart. When Jesus came into the world to bring peace, he came to do something greater than anyone could have ever expected. I read earlier this week that sin is first and foremost a matter of the heart, a matter of thoughts, desires, motives, and choices in our hearts. Sin is a matter of the heart that expresses itself in the body. Your body goes where your heart has already gone. That is the victory Jesus came to win, to defeat humanity's greatest enemies, the enemies of pride, vanity, conceit, arrogance, greed, entitlement. It's through that victory that true peace becomes possible. We don't like to think of it that way. We like to think that peace would just come if our issues on the surface would resolve themselves. But so often we are not at peace because of the circumstances in our lives, not necessarily because the circumstances are bad, but because our hearts don't know how to respond to the circumstances that face us. You know, our greatest problems in this fallen world that we live in are found in the condition of the human heart. Violence, crime, war, racism, classism, government corruption, environmental crises. There are even people dying on this planet because they don't have enough to eat. Those are outward physical symptoms of an inward condition of the human heart. Our bodies go where our hearts have already gone. This is why we need Jesus. This is why the world needs Jesus. This is why Jesus was born, to bring peace, to redeem us, to deliver us from our sin, freeing us to love God and to love others, which is the true path to peace. When the battle is won in our hearts, our bodies will follow, and the world around us will be changed. As the passage goes on, Zechariah prophesies over his son, John the Baptist, and I know we read this already, but it's going to appear on the screen. And I'm going to read it to you, and I hope that you will hear it as if God is speaking directly to you. Because I believe that this prophecy that Zechariah speaks over his son John the Baptist, as alive and as true as it is for John the Baptist, it is alive and true for you personally today. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. Have you ever considered that God is inviting you to participate in a relationship with him that peace would come on earth? God sent Jesus to redeem you, that your heart would be healed and you would prepare a way for Christ to be more deeply known to all those around you. God sent Jesus to save you, that through the forgiveness of your sins, you would share the knowledge of salvation with others. God sent Jesus to light up the darkness in your life, that others would know the tender mercy and comfort and healing and goodness of God. God sent Jesus that you would be free to love and serve God without fear, that one day every nation and every tongue would proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we would experience everlasting peace. This fourth Sunday of Advent, as we worship Christ, our peace, I challenge you to ask yourself, am I a symbol of Christ's peace? As you accept the gift of Jesus this Christmas, do you also accept the responsibility of being Jesus's representative in the world, in a world still very desperate for peace? Are you willing to embrace every aspect of who Jesus is? His message, his methods, his character, his values, his morals, his sacrifice, allowing these things to grow so much in your very being that they become the defining characteristics of who you are. Indeed, Christ came at Christmas, and God was fulfilling the promises that he had been making since the beginning of time, but it was happening not quite as people expected. And I wonder if we are like the Israelites sometimes. If we are looking for peace, but because it's not showing up in the way that we are hoping or the way that we are expecting, we don't see it. Today, on the verge of Christmas, remember that God sent Christ not to address the symptoms of our problems, but to win a victory over the root causes of our deepest challenges. As you go from this place and you make all those final Christmas preparations, I know that y'all have to have to-do lists like as long as the pulpit today. It's like, I know I do anyway. But as I leave from this place and as you leave from this place, my deepest prayer for you is that you would know that your greatest purpose, above all of the lights and the packages and the shopping that still needs to be done and the meals that still need to be cooked, is that you would know and love Jesus so that you could shine Christ's light into the dark places and bring peace wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord God, you always challenge me that the ways that we hope that you work in the world have to start in my own heart. And so, Lord, that's my prayer for us this morning, for each of us as individuals, for St. Charles United Methodist Church, for your worldwide universal church. Lord, that we would recognize the great privilege, but the great responsibility it is to be a Christ follower, to be one who knows you, that the world would know you. God, show us the way. Help us this Christmas to receive you deeper into our hearts than ever before. That our families, our friends, our coworkers, and our community would meet you in ways they've never met you before. We love you so much, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.